is part of the system. It's part of the
our actual Avodas Hashem is to find simcha in that exact situation. So it's not just a matter of like, okay, you know, you need to be happy right now, so therefore I'll put on a comedy routine and feel, you know, a little bit happier for the 5 minutes or whatever it is. That's a good tool to do something sometimes. That's certainly true, but we need to understand inside, deep within ourselves, that there's an actual avoida here, and that we are serving Hashem by finding simcha in our situation. So that I think is a really, really important kind of setting the tone for the conversation, l'chatchila. And I guess to start things off, I can talk about, you know, the time that I guess my wife and I can say we were a little bit more successful when things were a little bit different, you know, in terms of the, you know, our experiences back when Nisi was in the hospital. There was one kind of experience, and then there's the daily life nowadays with everything we have going on, you know, with that Baruch Hashem is a parsha, and that it's kaveh bracha la'atma, but the important part of simcha there, with the difficulty of everything going on and with all the diagnosis before the baby was born, everything else, we knew that Shabbos has to have an Avir of Shabbos. And we knew that we needed to create the Avir of Shabbos, and so therefore it was up to us to do it. And we had to put that on. And being on campus at the time, so that meant was Kabbalah Shabbos at home, singing through the entire thing, a little tansel by Lecha Doidi. Believe me, I was in no interest whatsoever to dance by Lecha Doidi or anything of the sort, but I had to do it. I had to do it for my children, because how could they lose out on Shabbos because I'm exhausted? They have to have Shabbos. And Shabbos at the actual, you know, Shabbos table as well, I found that Nigunim were not just, okay, sing a Nigun here, but it was an actual tune, it was an actual tool to be able to use to find those feelings inside myself. So it was using those as tools to be able to get out, to present something to my children, to make sure that was there. And then the interesting thing is that you feel a little bit of a pull out of you're out of, you know, you feel a little bit of a tefach hecher. You feel a little bit out because that's in fact what the nigun is supposed to do. That's what says Nayyim Yom, that a nigun brings simcha and bitachin into the home. So that was, at least just to start things off, that was one tool that we used.
Being that we learned my participation, particularly in this year and also last year when a lot of people were here, was basing off the memoriam that we were learning, which many people found very meaningful. And so I'd like to perhaps just take the nekuda and bring it into this, the Indian of practical simcha. The natural state of a yid should be the simcha, and the chassid is the simcha. And when we fulfill what we're doing, we merited to be chassidim, we merited to be yidden, we merited to be on shlichas, and merited to be in the doyachim of golus and the yishin shogiyuba. It's like you couldn't have locked out on a higher level than that. Beyond. Nor was then, we have to deal with the impediments, which in our case, everybody knows what that is. The inyanim that can drain the simcha out. In other words, you can fill your reservoir with simcha, but you have a leak, and it's all leaking and it's all draining out. So we have to figure out how to clog the leak, that it shouldn't leak out. So you can be a chassid is a freilichim. It used to be that they called the chassidim the freilichim ones. That's what the name of the chassidim, the freilichim. Chassidim were the jolly ones. You can see they walked with a little dance. Chassidus makes you freilach, chassidus heftuch. That's why it's also so important. As much as we're tasked, and sometimes we don't have time to learn chassidus. You see, if you come to shir, you learn it, it's a heftuch. It puts you in a different place. Chassidus is a must, we have to learn. And today's days, there's so many ways, this is important to know, that today's days, because there's so many shiurim online, you can podcasts and stuff like that, you take a walk, you have to, something happens. We started now, some people, I don't know if someone has subscribed here, but I started Achar Shel Pesach. We took an initiative, Mashiach Suda, what we're going to do. I had this anguish on Achar Shel Pesach. This was the Rebbe, you can imagine, the Rebbe on Achar Shel Pesach. The energy of Mashiach, like peaks. The Rebbe said, my mother, Achar Shel Pesach. So I suggested to my chevre at the Mashiach Suda, perhaps, I said, I'm taking Achlata to learn Achar Shel Pesach, my mother, all year long, so that I can keep myself in the headspace of Geula, of Mashiach, that energy. I'm learning the Rebbe is my mother on Achar Shel Pesach. So someone said, why don't you teach? So I started this initiative, 5 minutes every morning. I do a voice note. I started with Tashim Yud Aleph, going through it. There's a few hundred people on it already. 5 minutes. The 5 minutes, it just creates this. I mean, it's not like a quick inspiration point. It's a tifa mimer, so it's not so easy to create those 5 minutes segments. But then the nekuda is, even if all that it is 5 minutes, but you need a little chassidus, you need a little depth, because where there is meaning, if you understand that there is depth and there's something to it, what you're going through, it lifts the spirits. But in particularly, I think it's very important to recognize that the challenge that we have with our children, and I mentioned this today in the morning, is not a monkey wrench thrown into your shlichus. It's not like you had a perfect shlichus. They threw you in something, a curveball, that's kind of derailing you from your shlichus. If that's the case, then it's a burden. It's a burden. It's something that's like pulling you away. But if you realize that for whatever reason, was not in the Rebbe's different state, but we do have his Vedim and Chassidus that help us a little bit, you know, internalize or recognize again, somewhat of an understanding in it, that this is actually part of the shlichus. Not only you as a person, but your pe'ula on your place. Because what's our shlichus? Our shlichus is a kind of yin, but the ultimate shlichus is prepare the entire world for Mashiach. And it was bitter and lifting and bimasak and ho'ilam, that's our work. Now, that part of that shlichus is accomplished. And the special need child is in that army and is actually a general in that army and is actually having maybe more effect than everyone else in the family on the spiritual level. You might not see it physically. Some homes, actually, as mentioned, we had today, that sometimes in certain Chabad houses, actually the special need child ends up being part of the whole community's involvement, and that can actually bring about a certain energy in the shlichus itself. But even if we don't have that in the literal sense, but if we have an understanding spiritually, so if I can take you back to the Maimer we learned from the Tzemach Tzedek last year, and we were learning the Maimer, everything we explained is connected to this week's parasha, where it talks about Bali Mumim. You had mentioned yesterday the article from Rabbi Jacobson. I didn't see the article, but I would imagine he's gleaning, could be he was gleaning from this, because from the Maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek. It's a fascinating Maimer where the Tzemach Tzedek opens up a new door, which I've never seen, into, it's really based on the Alter Rebbe's Maimer somewhere else, but anyway, the Tzemach Tzedek opens up the door into the mysteries of suffering, of children that are born in suffering. And over there he explains, it's hard to learn, because it's a heartbreak. But on the other hand, he explains that these neshamas have to do with certain, in the battle, in the strategy of battle, sometimes he uses, I mean, it's hard even to say it, but sometimes you have to allow certain injuries to happen to certain soldiers are attacked, and they have chas v'shalom a certain fall, but that is because of the ultimate victory of the winning to win the battle. So even though there is part of the strategy is to you're leaving chas v'shalom some people in a vulnerable state, and they get attacked, but because of that you can encircle the enemy from the other side and to win the battle. And obviously, when it comes to neshamas, it means that these neshamas are the neshamas of the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh, the Alter Rebbe. The Tzemach Tzedek explains in Derech Mitzvah, because they were willing to take a hit. He explains that the suffering has to do with some kind of spiritual, has to do with the second half of the month, that the neshamas are conceived. This has nothing to do, as I mentioned last year, with physical conception, at the time of conception. But the spiritual conception has to do during the time of Pegimas Alavana. And therefore, these neshamas go out in a way that they're pogum, because there is some kind of injury that comes from the other side. And that injury is very painful for the nisham, it goes through pain. But yet, he describes over there in such an amazing way that when the time when Mashiach will come and the victory will be there, these nishamish will be mishtasheya with the shechina in a way that's incomparable to everybody else. Because they're, in a sense, at the very, very, they're the heroes of the heroes. You look and see a child can't do anything, can't say anything, can't do anything. And it looks like what's their pool in the world? But they're actually doing something immense. We're in a battle. Shlichus is beautiful. But it's a battle, it's a war. It's the ultimate final war. I saw a story, I still do it. In the winter time, I do Malava Malkus once once a month. And we do a Malava Malkus honoring different Chassidish Rabbeim. Stamp from the whole, I look for someone whose yard site is that month. So I do a lot of research into Polish Rabbeim, the great, the giants. So I came across a story of, I don't remember all the details, because I wasn't planning to, I just came up to my thought today. But in the story was one of the children of the Michalas Lachavim. The Michalas Lachavim's children were in themselves, each one was a tzaddik, Kaddish, really, really holy. Anyways, one of his children was in a town, and then there was they asked him that he should go out, because outside of the town there was a Beisak, they wanted to make a Beisak Kvaris. And the town didn't have a, looks like there was, the Yidden, looks like maybe they settled there recently, or they had to take the people to another town. They wanted to make, or next to the village, they wanted to make a cemetery. There used to be, I don't know, today, I don't know the way this is done, but that there is a certain Kabbalistic, whatever, procedure that is done when you want to create a makom for a Jewish Beis HaKvodes. There are certain things, maybe Al-Pi Zayah, I don't know what it is, to go ahead and say, in that area, you circle it a couple of times, and you do a psan avodah to create a beis hachaim. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Okay, so there is something like that is done. So he was the son of the Michlis Lata, asked him to do it, and he went out, and he did this thing. Immediately when he came back, he fell ill. And he was supposed to leave the next day, he couldn't leave the village, I think he was sick the whole week, and he was very, very sick. Finally, I think in the end he came back to himself, and he was Baruch Hashem stronger, and he was able to leave. And on the way, there was an accident that happened. The horses went wild, and they overthrew the carriage. Come that he came out. So when he got back home, I think he kind of communicated with his father. His father had passed away already, asking him what's going on here. So his father told him that this particular place was a place where the Chitzainim lived there. This area, they had a base, the Chitzainim are clippers. They had a base in this area. When you came and you uprooted them, they don't like to be evicted. So because of their eviction, they came after you. That's why, and the Baruch Hashem, you're alive. But this was this. And I'm thinking to myself, here, the Michalas Lachavisam evicted the Chitzainim from one little place. The Rebbe went and evicted the Chitzainim from the ganze Welt, the whole world the Rebbe set up. Places where Yid never walked yet, and the Rebbe said some meistis and yeshivas and mikvahs and Yiddishkeit. Can you imagine? And yet we have protection. What's our protection? Protection is the chitas, the Rambam, all the things the Rebbe gives. And the Rebbe's shayman. It's amazing to think about this. Like the Rebbe dare do what no one did. And we're this military. We're the forces, the elite forces going out there. And the Rebbe says, we're there, we're mamash at the end of it. But in that sense, we understand that the Eibishter is giving us ammunition sometimes that we don't always understand. And our special need child is actually at the highest level of what you call a machine gunner or tank, like the Rebbe would say, tankist, even though it might not look like this. So it's not outside of our shlichus, it's part of our shlichus. The same is also in the maimer we're learning today, is that the union of nisyanis, how nisyanis are also part of this. That the Nisayan, we're learning in Samach Tzedek again, explains that Nisayanis includes various different Nisayanis. One of the kinds of Nisayanis that there are is Menias in Brias, in health. There's a Helen the Hester. Here he explains how the Helen the Hester is meant to challenge you, it's meant to create a Halamis and a Estatim. And we're going to learn it tomorrow in the Maimer Vayter, we're going to get to it, that Dafke, the final nitzutz, the last nitzutzei achroinim, You can't elevate them any other way, not through birur, you're only through discovering and revealing your yechidish of the nefesh, which happens through the nisyanis, through the darkness, and dafka through that, you actualize these fast, these last nitzutzim and your megala atzmos, whatever. I'm not going to get it thrown in. But according to that, what do you have over here? Again, this is shlichus. This is not an impediment. So imagine if in your life you have certain plans, you had an event happening, well, you have once a week you do a shir. Tuesday night is a shir. And what happened if you have a situation, a balabas, or someone close to you, calls you emergency, nebuch, there was a tragedy, there was an accident, there was something that happened, and because of that you couldn't go give the shir, you just couldn't, because this family needed you, at this moment you had to be there for the family. So do you see it as an impediment on your shlichus? Your shlichus has now kind of been interrupted. You realize, no, part of shlichus is that sometimes you have to be ready for certain twists and turns. And when the twist and the turn comes out, it's not like you're, I can't do shlichus because the shlichus is now to give the shir. But right now I have an emergency, I have to be in the emergency room, or I have to be whatever, at the whatever to take care of this family that lost, that chas v'shalom, something happened. You have to be there, you have to be there. If you can get someone to give the shir, it's good. If not, that's what it is. You're not, you know. So when our children need those moments of us and take us out of it, it's not taking you out of it. It's shlichus. And if it's shlichus, just like shlichus is done b'simcha rabba, this too needs to be done b'simcha rabba. Obviously over here, it's your own kids, and it's the pain of the situation. True, that's the pain of the situation. However, the concept of mayach shalat al alev, when we have the mindset that we understand what it's about, and again, it for sure will be a struggle, but at least there is what to work with to keep us in a healthy, freilich, spiritual state. I go back, however, to what has been said over here earlier. It very much helps to use singing. I have to tell you that simply listen to music. Listen. Take external things that make you happy. You need that. You need music. You need think. You know. Blast it in the car when you're driving to carpool. Get it going to the point that your mom is like, because these things help. You dance, you this, you that. Be a little crazy, be a little silly. It's necessary to be b'simcha, whatever it takes to be b'simcha. It's important. Also, it's important, I believe, to take time, if you're able to, if you're just to air out a little bit. My wife and I go a lot of hiking. Baruch Hashem, in Florida, there's not one mountain to be seen. I'm looking for a mountain. California, Baruch Hashem, we're full of mountains. We go once a week, twice a week. We go out, no matter what. We go out, the hills, this, it much clears the head, it gives you. And these are, you make yourself healthy. You need to keep healthy. And those are just some thoughts.
There's a lot to absorb here, but several thoughts that I just wanted to share. Based on what I just heard, first of all, the concept that the Rebbe said several times in Yechidus, and I believe once publicly as well, the kavone b'givah brach of shluchim bis to the kavone pnimius von shluchos haben chassidische yiddische nachas von the kinder. The kavone pnimius of shluchos is to have chassidish and nachas from your children. Now, what's like mine and Shemitah Tzal Har Sinai, and now it becomes, I think, a lot easier to at least, the concept makes sense. First of all, the shlichas, we don't even know what the shlichas is, but adover barer that our children are a very central role in the shlichas itself. Actually, Rabbi Chadakov once told me that Mzolzen, that I should see the freilich music and stub. Freilich music in the house.
Yes, definitely.
If I was going to
say that.
For Chadakov, it's not just the you know,
you
the
content. Pepper spit already there?
What? The actually, yes. If you want it, I got it from Chadakov. I mean, I wasn't directly, but. It was by the World's Fair, when the World's Fair was in New York, so there was a America's booth at the World's Fair, and They asked then, they played music there always, so they asked Chadakov, what should they do about Sfira, about playing? And he said, what's the shayla? He didn't even say go to Rav, he said, what's the shayla? That's what happens in the World's Fair. So if you're going to be making a World's Fair, don't extrapolate from there. Now, coming back to... I'll tell a story. It gets better. Like our Rivki said, it's all okay at the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end. When our Mendel got sick, our Mendel lived for the Kinnas HaShluchim. That was like the high. I guess not unusual for a shliach to live for the Kinnas HaShluchim, but for Mendel, this was like. That even after when he was he was in New York, but he would make a Fabrengen, because his class had a Fabrengen every year, Thursday night of the Kinnas HaShluchim, that was like the highlight of the year. For the whole class, it was a very big deal. And he was sick in the hospital in NYU. The very last we saw on his beeper, or whatever it was, text, whatever, was... somebody asked him, Mendel, how are you doing? And he wrote, I'm waiting for the Kinnas HaShluchim. Which, when the sort of timing, you know, by the week of the Kinnas HaShluchim already, he was not conscious. And we decided that we would make a Fabrengen in the hospital. And Mendel wants a Fabrengen for Kinnas HaShluchim, we're going to make a Fabrengen in the hospital. No. It's Taka Thursday night of the Kinnas, so we had it was quite a big room in NYU we took, and we made a Fabrengen there. To say there were 100 people is not a good, but probably more. And at one point, somebody asked me, how could we? So I said, I'll tell you a story. And I told the story that I had heard. This happened, it was when Meshka Katzenelnbeken was in prison. And Reb Mendel Futterfass, they were both in the same prison. And they were one cell next to the other, or maybe it was one cell in between. And Reb Mendel heard once how they came into Meshka's cell. And they started to beat him and scream, and it was terrible. And this went on for a long, extended period of time. Until finally the Shom finished, and they went out, and they left. Now, in the prison, so they didn't have toilets. What they had was, at the end, by the far wall of the cells, so there was like a gutter that was on a slope that started from one end of the corridor and went all the way to this, and that was the toilet system. So there was like a little hole between the cells, you know, for this gutter to go through. So Reb Mendel leans down into this gutter, puts his mouth towards the hole, because the guards will hear, and he says, Meshke, Meshke. And finally Meshke, aber freilach, but happy. That was the story. Mendel was nifter a couple of hours later. Was actually mamish, just like Rebecca, it was that we were like 9 people in the room when the 10th person came into the room, one of my nephew or something, and that's when he was nifter, like right in the morning, and his levaya was taken by the Kinnas HaShluchim. By Shiva, so I told over this story, and then as this is in the nature of is often the kemel nishvisen, but as is the nature of shiva, when you have hundreds of people coming, so you don't have to, like, you know, say new things to all the people. But it's not, you know, one day you have a whole routine of 2 hours or 3 hours, and then as the crowds listen, it's chesed chalila. And this was part of what I was, this story I told over quite a few times. Now, I don't know how Vidus is niskama gevoren. First of all, perhaps my antenna during Shiva is not as attuned as they should be here, but Echshleia, as I'm thinking back, you know, like, what exactly was I thinking? But at the time, it was, you know, it was definitely meaningful to me. On the fourth or fifth day of Shiva, my kids called the meeting. And at night, just like 11, 12 o'clock, when the house finally cleared out, they want to have a meeting with Tati. We have to talk. And it was like a revolt. Tati, do not repeat that story ever again. We don't want to hear it. We absolutely don't want to hear it. So Mrs. Darin was like, how does children talk to their tata like that? And cloud, and this and that, and what says to them, you know, everything I say is perfect. What? No. I saw from your face. By night, my antenna get better. But okay, nishta. I didn't, you know, I love my children. I'm, you know, was to give them agus nefesh, but I, and I, that was it. A year later, my son, Yossi, my oldest, my bechor, sent me his Yom Kippur drasha for Kol Nidre. And in it, he tells the story of what happened during Shiva. And he said, and I didn't understand my father then, but I understand him now. We made the mistake. We didn't understand what simcha was. Simcha is a lifeline that you use to climb up. It's not a noun, it's a verb. Simcha is what saves you. It's not what you use to escape, it's what you use to climb. And so, who among us is a Rebendula or a Meshka Katzenelmbeg? It's not what we are, it's what we aspire to be. And we can do far more than we imagine we can. Just, we don't sometimes because we think we can't. But if we know we have to, we end up doing like incredibly more than we. How? Yeah, music, definitely, that's a means. First of all, Shabbos becomes a problem and there's nobody at the table or whatever, right? You know, sometimes you just can't sing. Or sometimes it's too hard. My Feter Avremel once told over a story. I think it was printed in a book about Shlemke Madanchik, that he was once in Yechidus with his whole family. Shlemke Madanchik was the mayor of Prachabad for many years. He was an engineer, and I don't mean engineer, the kinds come from Russia, engineers. I mean the train engineer, Pashut, you know, he drove a train. But freight trains, I never saw him on a regular train, but at night. By day, he was running around to all of the politicians, making sure that Chabad had what it needed. Akoponim, he was once in Yechidus. And it's surprising because people that knew him always knew him as a he's like a hail fellow well met. So he was there with his family, and then the Rebbe said he wants to talk to him privately. The Rebbe went out, the Rebbe wants to talk to him privately. And the Rebbe said to him, no, everybody went out, the Rebbe just looked at him and gave a big smile. big smile. He said, never saw such a smile. And he said to him, Shlemkem et darf zayn freilach. You have to be happy. Obviously, the Rebbe knew what was going on inside of him that others didn't. And darf zayn freilach, you have to be happy. And then the Rebbe said, seeing on his face the question of Rvi, how? And the Rebbe said, afilu amedarf, even if you have to pull your cheeks apart. Pinch your cheeks to smile, but you have to do it. So, it's like, it's what keeps us alive. And I'm going to sort of wander into Rabbi Wolf's territory and with a concept of Chassidus. I'll confess, okay? I'm not going to tell exactly how old I am. I can tell you how old I am. I'm 72 years old. So I went through Tanya Chita, and it's like every year, it's like a new Tanya. And like, I never saw this. I saw yesterday something that I grew up till, it's like Ava V'yira, love and fear of the Eibishter is like this concept. We looked at Halavai Beinani, and that was like the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe himself agrees that it's Halavai Beinani. He knows who's B'yede, Makira Kamina was not just talking about the Chassidim in his time. Okay, he knew that Halavai Beinani was the most that. Yes, this is like this. The Alter Rebbe is giving in Perek Mamvav that what is Ava. So there's a type of Ava that a person can reach Ava. And we're talking about Ava now, which is not Europe, this is Ava. A type of love of the Eibishter that comes from a recognition of how much the Eibishter loves him. When you realize how much the Eibishter loves us, then he can begin to be me'orer this Ava, whether this is a Ava mitzad ha'sechel or it's a Ava mitzad ha'lev, but me'orer Ava that is truly true Ava. And one of the rayas that Alter Rebbe brings to show what the Ava of the Eibishter is, that there's a mitzvah that Hazal say, you have to be calm, you have to get up, le'esei mitzvah. For a person who does a mitzvah, you have to get up, because he's doing a mitzvah of the Eibishter, and the Eibishter is so miyaker it, who? Even a bur v'am ha'aretz, even a the lowest of the low. No, I'm sitting there thinking, whoa, whoa, whoa. So who's Alter Rebbe talking to now? He's talking to a big chassid now. We're saying shaft of Ava. No. He says a bur v'am ha'aretz. In other words, this Ava that the Eibishter is showing to the bur v'am ha'aretz, there's only one person that can appreciate, truly appreciate the Ava of to a burva amoritz. Who? The bur in the amoritz. Okay, the fact that the Eibishter loves somebody down the street, therefore I'm going to be so spoil. I mean, big deal. I mean, he loves me. Another saying is a burva amoritz can have avas Hashem. Not only can, it's not a big deal. He should. It's real. And this is avas Hashem. We b'sach hakol have to have simcha that we're shluchim. I mean, like, it's playing right out here on the table. It's like, shachar al gabei lovim. We absolutely can have it. And it lifts us, and it's mechaya us, and it gives us the ability to... Oh, I feel like doing a kula, but I'm not going to do it. So
getting back to... a little bit more just simplistic things. The atmosphere in the house is very much influenced by not just the sound in the house, But it's even influenced by the what you see. And this is something that I think a lot of people don't realize. The pictures in your house really, really influence the feeling. And we actually felt this very, very viscerally a few days ago. Baruch Hashem, we decided to buy a house and you know, started putting things together. And we had some guests coming for Friday night, so we wanted to make sure that at least, you know, the place looked a little bit more menschlich. So we, you know, ran around an hour before Shabbos, basically putting up a couple of the pictures, and it was a different feeling. The house felt much more menschlich. But specifically, not just stamp pictures, but specifically, we have pictures of each one of the kids smiling. Not just like the chasna pictures, where basically everybody's like, okay, I have to be here because I forced to, and somebody's basically pushing the four-year-old down because he was crying and he doesn't really want him in the picture. But real pictures of the kids when they're out there, when they're doing something that they're enjoying, and you know, they look, and you know, I know that for my wife and I, it makes us feel just, oh, this is the us that we want to be. And a lot of people, and in fact, a lot of even shluchim who have Chabad houses, they don't realize that this is a very, very powerful impact when you walk into a house and you see pictures of lichtige children. Children who, you know, their faces are glowing from the walls. Yes, there has to be a picture of the Rebbe on the wall, there's no question, but there also should be the Rebbe's kinder. That they should see that this is what your children are, and this is what we want to be, and this is what their children should see themselves on the wall. They should see that this is who they truly are. This smiling face is who they are, not just the complaining face. It was very interesting. We had a major... He's a former president of a small company, I don't know if you've ever heard of, called Starbucks. A Jewish guy. No, this was the other Howard Bihar. So we managed to get him to come to our house for Shabbos. And, you know, he's a very, 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 very secular Jew. He told me later, he said, Ellie, I love you, it's just too bad you're involved with this nonsense. I'm like, what am I supposed to, if I was saving the whales, my wife and I, we'd be absolutely made. But anyway, so he walks in the house, and we had 60 students around the table, and his first reaction, he walked in the house, says, oh, it's nice. He was like, and with those words, it was the beautiful Seattle of the ultimate put down. I expected you guys to be just this dark, awful place. But he walked in, and it was nice, because we made sure that the house was a Varma house, and part of being a Varma house is to be surrounded by the things that are Var. And if there are faces of your children in a way that you want to see them, it's an important element. And your children need to see that. They need to see themselves up on the wall. It was very interesting also, especially in terms of the kids' own, you know, you don't want to call it ego when they're children, because it's not a negative thing. Self-respect, self-esteem, yeah. When we have these, you know, six pictures, each one of each kid individually, and each kid, like, automatically, basically, their picture is up. There was, like, an automatic connection with their picture. It was a very, very interesting thing to see. Like, all right, and the tone in the house, actually, it calmed down. It was a very interesting thing to see. So I think that's an important, another practical element, just to have that. And along with that, something that unfortunately nowadays it's become a, you know, passé, but you can still do it. When we were younger, we used to actually have a photo printer, and we printed pictures. We had like this journal of pictures for the first, 14, 15 years of our marriage. And it's an incredible thing for us to look through and to have those beautiful memories. But the kids go through them as well. And we haven't done it since, and that's been actually a problem, because they don't have, you know, we've attempted to go places, we've attempted to do things with the family. Obviously, it's more difficult nowadays, but Zalam Shaneh, the important thing is that when the kids see those images, they remind themselves of it, and they have all these positive memories that they think about, and they get back into that place. So it's important to surround, you know, to create that avir that you want. You can't expect the kids to have it automatically. You have to create it. You have to put out the effort to do it. You have to put it on the wall so that they see. You're advertising it, if you want to put it that way. You know, that this is the feeling that we need to have. And the other thing is, to say it, to tell to the kids, you know, in this home, this is what we're aiming at. And yes, you know, sometimes it's harder, sometimes it's easier, but this is what we try to be. We are trying to be our avodah simcha. We're trying to do this, and that way they understand it's not just something that is a concept, but they hear it communicated from their parents that this is an important part of who you are and what the family dynamic is because of what you're creating.
I was supposed to be opening the floor. See, to say anyone has anything to add is an implied criticism that there were things we should have said and didn't.
Maybe a switch another three people.
I just want to share something.
Yeah, this would be great.
I want to give Shelly a chair. First, I think it's the first retreat you had, at least the first one Zelda and I went to, was in Fort Lauderdale. At the time, Mella Plotkin was here from Toronto. The son of it is not alive. But at the time, he said something to me that really helped me and helped us and helps us at the end of the day. So it doesn't have to be rigid. I don't know about being simple, but at least not to bring more answers. So he was describing his son, and the truth is, it really is very apropos, because at the time, we didn't realize, we didn't know yet that our son has autism, because he just has Down syndrome. He has severe autism. So he told us that his son had also Down syndrome autism, but he had a talent for music. So he's explaining his matzah. Friday night, these people go to the house, and as soon as Shabbos, the boy actually, the only thing he really knew how to do was to play piano. And he goes to Goyisha school, and he has a song that he loves the most, Jingle Bells. You ever hear it before? So he says, Shelzachmar, imagine, he said every Friday night I have to sit there with him and we sing Jingle Bells. And it helped me a lot, because if you would have told me 10 years ago we're going to have a TV in the house, we didn't have a TV in the house. If you tell me you have a TV in the house, would be on loud all day. You didn't. On Shabbos all day, and that's it. So you just have to be happy. Even sometimes one of my daughters, she gets a little annoyed because he needs his tablet, he has to play, he doesn't understand. So Shabbos, Yom Kippur, that's how he lives. It's his tablet, and that's his entertainment. That's his communication with God. And it gets annoying sometimes. It's Shabbos afternoon. It's not only because of Frumkeit. I guess it's annoying. And it's the same songs. I know them, yes. Slow motion. He likes to hear music in slow motion. It's annoying. But I'm saying, so that my thing of making simcha is just, I don't even hear it anymore. I'm just saying, just an Eitz HaTayva. He told me something he didn't even realize what he did for us. And it helps us every single Shabbos, every single day. So just a thought.
If I could respond to that, two things. One, in light of this concept of a child with special needs as a chelik of the shlichas, when Rav Meshe Feller went out on Shlichas, so when they were in Yechidus, so he asked the Rebbe what they should do. So the Rebbe said to Iritzen, you'll see what to do. Abridir Iker, the main thing is, Yerzolt Zayin flexible. Which is that word, be flexible. Now, I don't think that, you know, certainly in the conventional sense, flexible does not mean jingle bells at the Friday night, on the piano Friday night by the Shabbos table, but yes, flexibility is an absolute necessity. One of my children called, my mom was like a half hour before I came down, not here now, and so I said, Osh, tell me, so was our house Freilach? So sure. So tell me, Osh, how did mommy and I bring Simcha into the house? Right. We almost never saw you argue. And I think I said, oh, never saw us argue. That's simcha. I mean, hello, you know, thank you very much, okay? We didn't throw flower vases at each other. That's a really freilich house. He said, no, really. Which is what you're saying. Okay, yes, I guess it's...
I didn't say that
before. No. I don't believe that you threw vases at... I don't believe you guys throw vases at each other.
No, they don't buy vases.
There's one thing my wife reminded me that at some point one of our children, one of those nine diagnosis kind of situations where you're just like, ooh, where'd you come from? You know, he's particularly negative about everything. What we did was we recreated the atmosphere at the dinner table. We started a Dover Arogil that everybody has to go around the table and say something that they're grateful for.
Every day?
Every day. Every single day. Every single day. Every kid, what was that?
And the kids are actually at the table.
The kids are actually at the table. Yeah, we try to have one dinner table, that's basically the thing. You know, and sometimes, you know.
Every day?
Every single day. Every single day. Nowadays, of course, Nissi runs this thing. He decides who speaks first, which of course turns itself into a fight, basically, you know, that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is that Nissi goes on grateful, you know, as soon as everybody sits down at the dinner, he basically wants to run the whole party. But you know, how successful is it in totality? I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it definitely is a reminder for everybody that as bad as your day was, there's something for you to thank Beishter for. And you have to express that. And again, so even for Charochel night, you know, there's some days where we're like, okay, you know, it was a heck of a day, but at the end of the day, I'm grateful for this family. I'm thankful that I'm a chassid. You know, I'm thankful that we have the Torah, that we have the Eved Torah, something, some, you know, some concepts. Sometimes it's more, you know, tachlis, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more conceptual, but it's a reminder again of what we want to be. I think you put it so well when you said that it's about the aspiration. It's not just about the day to day. It's about our children seeing that this is what we're aiming towards, and as a result of that, then okay, you know, the pieces will eventually fall into place. When you're building a building, it looks like total and absolute chaos until the building's open. But we don't know when the building is open, so to speak, in life. You know, it's just a constant chaos. You're constantly building something, and the Eved afterwards says, okay, this is what you built. But we just keep going. But we have to aspire, communicate to our children what it's all about. We're thankful. And the Rebbe said that Maidani is his favorite tshuva, famous story. Thankful that we woke up. And it's of course remarkable that a kid, you know, it drives the kids crazy that a kid like this, you can barely do anything. He always has three, four things that he's grateful for. The other kids have to sit there and think about it, but he always has several things. But that's another tool that we created in order to try to change the stream, because the stream was being really, really pulled away by this severe negativity of this particular child. And so that's basically, again, the parents trying to say, okay, this is what we do, this is the direction that we're going, and so we're going to continuously try to push it in that direction.
You know, one of the advantages of being married to a preschool director, especially a preschool director who's always trying to learn new things, and so is either reading or going to workshops or meeting the experts in the field, is that you, some of it sort of sinks in by osmosis. You get, there's a very prominent in the world of early childhood education, educator, I don't think she's Jewish, Bev Boss is her name, or was, this goes back. And she once said that, you know that kid in your class that when you find out he's not coming, you go, yes! That's the kid who you need to be waiting for at the door with your eyes shining, saying to him, I am so happy you're here. with your eyes shining, i.e. you need to get into the place where you actually... she's still growing. I was waiting for you. I'm so happy you're here. But, you know, the phrase that stuck in my mind was, with your eyes shining. I mean, not just words. Now, thinking about it as far as today, I was thinking about myself. So my own kids, Baruch Hashem, I mean, like, I don't know, people think maybe that I'm crazy, but like, I shower my children with love. Like, now my grandchildren and Baruch Hashem, great-grandchildren, like, we're crazy. Every one of them has their own crazy name, and every one of them has their own, they know that Zadie's gonna tell them whatever mishigas. He decided that this is their mishigas, and that's like, you know, until they're 26, they're gonna be hearing it from him. Until they're married, and then I have to worry about a spouse, so that's, I can't do it, right? But you know, so that's not an aveda, that's Baruch Hashem. But I have Mekorovim that, you know, the guy that comes to the Chabad house, the magnet brings, or if it's only one, you're a lucky Chabad house. There's several that every Chabad house has. And I have one that, like, we're not 35 years, a shlump, totally lack of any sense of boundaries or, I mean, not a bad person, on the contrary, but just, you know, like, dresses, the smell, and always has to stand in the front or greet people at the door or you know, the first one to, yes, I'm gonna do it, you know, whatever it is, we have an auction, he's buying everything, and we'll do absolutely nothing. It's not, and like, oh, God, I'm a genug shame, until I realized, hello, Erez Chaycha Tayyid. You know, and on the road, how many times was he number 10 for Dominion? Okay, you didn't mind when he showed up as number 10. Yeah, sure, when number 11 showed up, you started wishing he would go home. But hello, you know, he's Jewish. Erzaid. And I started to start treating him like Ayid, like a Pashat, somebody to whom the mitzvah of V'hafta Reicha Kameicha applies full 100% on. And greet him, you know, like that's the thing, with a shine in my eyes. Robert, I am so happy you're here. Baruch Hashem, you're here. And it's doable. It's not, you know, okay, so. I heard once from Shea Staub, you know, you said, Meir Shalat Alalev, and I'm gonna, don't like, but I saw a couple of, on one side of the room, Meir Shalat Alalev, who's Meir Shalat Alalev? Okay, you know, Meshe Meizlish, okay, that's Meir Shalat Alalev, yeah, but you know, it's like, we aspire to it, yeah, of course, absolutely, but can we? And Tanya says yes, every single person, that's every good, it says every single person has the ability for Meir Shalat Alalev, and you think, me, I can't even.
It all does say.
Huh?
Bitoldasei.
And Shea Staub tells a story that's like so, whoo. He says it was Friday. It wasn't Friday. He's taking his wife to the supermarket. And she went inside, and he was sitting in the car, saying Tilim. And it sounded like Chitas Tilim. No, it wasn't like Shea doesn't strike me as the Tilim sayer, of course, whatever. And, I was just sitting there, and out of the corner of the eye, he notices a woman coming out of the supermarket with a little kid in tow, and she is giving him a what for. Evidently, he had, you know, acted out in the store in some kind of way, and she was, you know, she had to take him out of the store, and she's screaming and hollering at him and slapping him and this, and comes up to the car, which was right next to his, comes up to the car, opens the car door, and still screaming and hollering, and picks him up and puts him down into the car seat and screaming. And then notices Shea sitting 4 feet away, watching, and like, stop. No more angry, no more screaming, no more nothing. He says, that's Meir Shalat Alalev. A Goyish lady can do it very easily. She can do it, we can't. It's Bitzoldasi. So if Terry says it can be done, it can be done. If Terry says it absolutely has to be done, that means it can be done fairly easily.
reminded me of a powerful concept that I was came across on Maimer Sfartim Lachem, and the Rebbe explains the Alter Rebbe's of Sfartim Lachem. Basically, among the things that he explains over there is that davening has three types of psukim in it. As psukim of Avram, which are psukim of chesed, you know, that basically promote our feeling of connection to Hashem, of avat Hashem. You have psukim of Yitzchak, or Yira, or Gvura, which are psukim that talk about shiflas Adam, that we're, you know, how small we are and how, you know, minuscule, you know, we are in the framework of all of creation. And those psukim are meant to push our emotions and basically bring us somewhere so that we can build up those feelings of Ava towards Hashem and towards Hashem. And so the Rebbe asks in his Maimers, what happens if that doesn't work? If our emotions are just simply not capable of getting there? So he says, that's the reason why you have a third type of part of davening, which is Yaakov, which is Rachamim, Avinu of Rachaman. We talk about what he called Hamrachim, Rachemna Aleinu, and basically the Rachmanus. Basically, Eibishter, I'm trying to have Ava Esgeidnisht. I'm trying to have Yira Esgeidnisht. Basically, Eibishter have Rachmanus on us. That's the third. And the Rebbe says that the Rachamim in davening, that everybody can get to. That's no kunz. And basically, you can always get Yaakov, Tiferes, and basically, that's basically something that's everybody's is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Everybody can get there. And I was thinking about that with regards to the one child of ours who, you know, basically Chesed, he likes to empty you out and then more, right? Gvura doesn't work at all. It's just basically. And I realized that basically when Avon doesn't work, and Yira doesn't work, when Ava, when Chesed doesn't work, and Gvura doesn't work, the only response is Pashta Avrachmanis on the kid. And compassion is a completely different emotion that I think that oftentimes we don't use out properly because we're so used to going one way or the other, either giving, or saying, you know, here are the limits, and this is no, don't do this, don't do that, you know, and those two sides. But to sometimes have compassion and say, you know, just, all right, this kid was given what he was given, and to have rachmanis on the kid and express that. Look, I really feel for you. You're having a really, really tough time. I'm not giving what you want because you want everything that I possibly have, and then I can't do that. You know, I realize that Gvura is not going to give you, is not going to accomplish what it needs to, but the feeling of compassion, and that's something that you know, again, it's not certainly not something that I've succeeded because this is just something that fell into my head 2 weeks ago, and so I'm just trying to apply it. But it was a powerful feeling that we have to sometimes just have rachmanis, and I think that also applies to ourselves. Sometimes we have expectations of ourselves that are so high, and we don't get there, and so we feel like a failed parent or a failed spouse or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just apply Rachmanis, just have a little bit of Rachmanis on ourselves, afzich alein, and just say, okay, you know, we're doing whatever we possibly can.
I was asked already from the caterer that we went to the next thing because he is running out of time more than us. I want to thank you guys for doing this. When the concept came up to run a panel, and I was thinking about exactly how to do it, I had not envisioned that this is how it would turn out, and I'm very happy we did this. I think there's so much that we can take away from hearing from individuals, everyone in their own way, and what and how we can take this and live with this going forward. I should say the next retreat, but we'll say b'chal going forward, how and what we can do to apply this in a practical sense. And I would like to suggest something that has come up, and I haven't had time yet to think exactly how to develop this, but one of the things that has come up was that we should learn Shana B'tochen. That was for it, learn Shana B'tochen often and again. I know we sent the book of Shalom Rashi, we sent out the book to all the Shulchan, I hope all you got it. If you didn't, let me know. I still have a couple of copies left. And one of the things that throughout the book was him living with Petachon, and something actually I tried to impart to my kids. I have a nice story about it. I guess we'll talk later about the Shulayan about this. It was suggested at some point that maybe we do something with Child Petachon for the Shulchan, and I am open to do it if you guys are interested. To have a class in Child Petachon specifically for Shulchan for our group, it will be on a broader range. It's not going to be only Florida, as we're talking about Shulchan worldwide. Anyone who wants to join, it's something that just recently was someone I was approached to think about an idea, so I'm placing it out there as one of the ideas of how to bring more Shulchan to the home. Is to go through the Shara Petachon and applying it to our own lives. So I'm welcome to hear any suggestions how to do it and what to do exactly. But I want to thank you again, Shkoyach. This was amazing. Shkoyach for coming. Dinner is being served right now. And we will get it through.
Do you think that the Nefesh HaLikis ever has Rachmanis on his own? We're supposed to.